Joy found some notes of Janet, and if you ever read her writing, no one could ever duplicate Janet's writing. She has her own unique way. And it was February the 28th, 1993, so that's been a few years ago, and she was having even some health battles then. And as I opened this and began to go through it, this literally leaped from the pages. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Never give up. Never lose confidence in God. Never be afraid to put your total trust in God. Never let difficult circumstances cause you to doubt God. That's pure gold. Don't give up on God. Well, that's the title of my message this morning. Don't give up on God. I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And I believe the scripture that she was keying off of was, you know, be not weary in well doing. In due season you shall reap, faint not. But I'm going to Matthew chapter 15. Portion of God's word that I have ministered in the past, not too long ago. But while I was gone, the Lord just, on the plane, he said, just read that again. I thought, Lord, I have read Matthew every way you can read it, this particular account. But God said, read it again. You know, folks, the beautiful thing about God's word, no matter how many times you've read it, every time you read it, you can pick up a new thought, a new understanding, a new revelation. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Hard-hearted committee, wasn't it? Woo. But verse 24, and he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now that should have been it, right? Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she saith, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now this is a very intriguing story. Actually, we get it from Mark the 7th chapter and then also from Matthew 15. Between the two chapters, we pick up the fact that this woman heard about Jesus. We also read, according to the account that is here, that she came to Jesus. I honestly believe there's some people, if you could tell them and they really believe that you were telling them the truth, that Jesus of Nazareth would be our pulpit guest on a given Sunday, they would say, that's wonderful. Send me the tape. Could I get a CD or a DVD of that? I think I'm quite right on that. Amen. She heard, she came. The Bible said she cried out. Let me just ask you a simple question. You get a hold of a hot skillet, you'll cry out. Something catastrophic happens or painful happens, you will cry out. I mean, there will be a cry of urgency, if nothing else but just sheer pain. She cried out. And the Bible said that she fell down and worshiped him. I mean, this woman was into this with everything that she had. And yet, here's a strange thing about Jesus. I mean, you can have your own ideas about it. I believe all this happened to encourage our faith. I believe all this happened to paint a picture on the canvas that would encourage us in our moment of extreme need. But figure this one out. Jesus, the compassionate, peaceful, loving, wonderful Son of the living God, didn't answer her a word. Now you said, now I want you to meet Pastor Bob Nichols. He's a good man. I believe he can help you. I believe he'll be able to encourage you. And you bring your friend up and I shake hands with him and they say, Brother Nichols, this is my friend. And I just look at them like they fell out of a tree. I don't say anything. And he said, excuse me, Pastor, this is my very special friend. And I've brought them and I told them good things about the church and good things about you. And would you just minister to my friend? Now, you would either come to the conclusion that I didn't like you or I didn't like your friend, one of the two. But really, I mean, this is real life. And then on top of this, Jesus' inner circle, his disciples, said, Bible tells us, they said, send her away. You know, even if you'd read a book on refusing the spirit of offense, you'd have a golden opportunity about that time. Jesus didn't say a word, and the disciples, the word they said was not a good word. Get rid of her. She's wearying us. She's whatever. And then when Jesus did say something, you know what he said? Woman, you're of the wrong nationality. You're a Greek. I'm a Jew. Jews don't minister to Greeks at this time. Remember, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. So here was literally a Greek from Syria, as I understand this. And when Jesus did talk, he said, all I have to say about that is, I didn't come to minister to your race, to your nationality. This thing's getting pretty difficult. It's enough to cause anyone to quit and go away. And just to say, what else is there to work with? I tried to talk to this man. He won't talk. His disciples insulted me. And when he did talk, he insulted me. But when your need is deep enough, you'll do whatever you have to do to touch the hem of his garment. The crowds may resist. Your physical strength may wane. But when you're hurting bad enough, you'll do whatever you have to do to get help. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not hurting real bad right now. You just have a wishful attitude that things could be better. But there's a deeper thing that I'm going for this morning. Jesus said, I'm not sent to your nationality. Enough to cause anyone to go away. Nothing to work with. And I've already ministered on this several times, different places, different ways. And it's so simple, I don't even know if I can frame it like it should be framed. But she came back. I didn't notice that right in the middle of Matthew. There's the Mark account. There's the Matthew account. But read it, and when you read it, you have to see that after this dialogue and after this seeming insult, and after Jesus told her he didn't minister to her nationality, and the woman had enough insults to last you for a lifetime, if Jesus is who they say he is. But you know, it's just like, I don't care what you say. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not into that. I'm into getting some help. I'm into getting some help. And she said those very words, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know, the Bible's not complicated. We make it complicated. I mean, after all of this rejection, you'll never believe what that pastor did or didn't do to me or that church. You know, all that stuff. And yet this woman just, right over her head. She said, it really doesn't make any difference. I know this man can make a difference in my daughter's life. I know this man is the answer to my daughter's problem. I know, I believe that this man can make a difference in my family and make a difference in my life. And it really doesn't make any difference what anyone else does. You know, we're all human and we all do some stupid things, don't we? We've all said some stupid things. We've all not always seized the moment or seized the opportunity as we ought or as we should. We're human. We miss it. Many times I think, why didn't I think of that at the appropriate time? Feel like I missed an opportunity. I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't as sensitive as I should have been. But sometimes, I don't know if you're like I am, sometimes I'll have delayed thoughts that are profound. I just wished I could have had them at the moment. But the thing that I want to get over to our heart is, never give up on God. Never give up on Jesus. Don't give up. Don't quit. You know, what area of your life have you given up on God in that area? You're here, yes, amen, I have my Bible. But is there an area of your life that you've given up that God can make a difference in that area of your life? Maybe it's a member of your family. You know, every time that sun rises is an opportunity for faith. We live by faith. If we do what the Word said, we do everything by faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. But the Word says, that's getting a little extreme, but then the Bible's an extreme book too. She came back again. I want to just get a hot brand. And I want to take it off the fire of the Holy Ghost. I meet preachers who have given up on God. Oh, they're preaching. Yeah, I tried that revival stuff. I tried this. We've tried everything in our church. Well, have you experienced God is what it's all about. You know, God does different ways, different things, different times. But this woman had a need. And I've got some needs in my life. And I identify with what I'm preaching this morning. And I've made a new commitment in my heart. I'm not going to give up on God. I mean, I know that sounds absurd, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, we can act religious and have that look on our face and have our open Bible, but is there some area where you've given up on God? You think God can do, out of 10 things, He can do 8 things, but 2 things? The Bible said nothing is impossible with God. And the thing about this, it obviously was impossible. I mean, according to this woman's knowledge, God gave us power to cast out devils. We understand that. But she didn't know that, and she didn't know how to do it. And so to her, this was an impossibility. And to her, Jesus was the answer to the need. You understand? But even though, I mean, she didn't give up. She believed that Jesus had the answer. So she came again. Yeah, I tried that once. She came again. I tried this once. I stood on that verse once. I read that book, if it's the right kind of book, you know. I gave it a go once. It reminds me of Carl Stringer. He was kind of the Crocodile Dundee down there. He was a game warden, and then they worked with the crocs and some interesting things that I'm glad it was his job, not mine at that time. But they had a tornado. It was in Australia. And so the tornado came, blew the church away, kind of identify with that, and blew, you know, some other things away, blew their house away, really. And so the next day, the only thing that was left was just a kitchen table and 2 chairs. And so they got a teapot from someone, and they were having a spot of tea out on a slab of concrete. And some wiseacre came by and looked over and said, ah, breakfast on the patio, mate. Well, it's all in how you see it. That's all they had left. They were celebrating their patio. But as I looked at this woman's life, nothing to work with. Everything seemingly gone. She would not quit. I'm telling you, God will not withhold from a church that prays and a church that refuses to quit. Don't quit. Comes back to what I mentioned even last Sunday. I don't have his last name before me, but Max, a Jewish man that survived 2 years of Holocaust. He was supposed to have been the next into the gas chambers. Had the number in his arm, and two or three of the ladies here in the church, they took the information down. They were standing with me in the Holocaust Museum and so on. I just kind of stumbled on it, but it was God that brought me in contact. And when I looked into his face, he, in fact, Joyce said, you know, he looked pleasant. He didn't look bitter. He wasn't mean, mad. He'd seen a lot of heartache in his life. But I said, Max, how did you make it facing the gas chambers potentially every day? He said, this was what brought me through. No matter how difficult things become, never, never, never give up. It was a very special moment. Never, never, never give up. Now, see, I look at this woman. She came again. So she comes again. Now, is she going to come again and say, you are so rude. I tried you. I gave it the best going. You owe it to me now to help me out. You know, she could really come with an attitude. She could have come with an attitude. But you know what she did? According to the Bible, when she came again, she worshiped Jesus. Get a lot of mileage out of worshiping Jesus. I don't care what people say. I don't care what my body says. I don't care what circumstances say. Praise the Lord. I worship you, my God. I give you glory and honor and praise. Things haven't turned out like I wanted them to. May not have been like I thought it would be, but praise the Lord. Oh, God, I worship you. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. All of that other stuff, it'll all work out some way. I just worship you, Lord. Boy, that's, to me, that's heavy. You know, you can always worship God. I mean, it's a choice. It's a faith choice. You can always praise and worship God. And then, again, she says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. How in the world do you touch the heart of God? How in the world, when Jesus has answered you not a word, and when he did answer you, he said, right now, I'm not even called to your nationality. We know the gospel came to the Gentiles, thank God, because we got in on it, you understand? But at that time, then the disciples said, Lord, send her away. Like that church, someone told me that they sent their very special friends to that church because they were going through a tremendous trial of faith with a member of their family, one of the children. And they told the greeter, we need someone to pray with us. They said, please fill out a visitor's card. They tried to stop an usher. He said, well, we'll remember to pray about that. And then finally going out, they said, we're really desperate. We need someone just to pray with us. And they said, email the office next week. If you're on the edge, you need help right now. And church, I tell you now, you know what we say about some people are very unwise and always giving some kind of a word that doesn't come out. But I mean, if someone needs prayer, just take them by the hand and pray for them. That's good. And right then, lest you forget it, I don't know about you, but there's times I've forgotten something that I thought I'd never forget, but I did. And so she worshiped Jesus and she said, Lord, help me. And would you believe it? Jesus just won't let this thing go. But it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. Now that wasn't the word that she wanted and wasn't the word she needed. I tell you, my heart has gone out to this woman. And God helped me to convey what I'm talking about something deep in the spirit. Something that goes beyond our soulish realm feelings. What she say, he say, they say, we thought we heard. She said, Lord, it's okay. I can handle that. But even the little dogs get the crumbs under the table. I'm not asking for a full meal. All I want is some crumbs. Just give me some crumbs, heavenly crumbs. I'm not asking for a full meal. I'm not even asking for scraps or leftovers. Just a few crumbs under the table. That's all I want. Just a few crumbs. You know, folks, when we get that desperate, Lord, I'll have a steak and I'll have it medium well. If it's not right, I'll send it back to the kitchen. Well, in the natural, that's okay. You pay for a steak, you send it back to the kitchen if it doesn't suit you. But this woman has a daughter that needs a miracle. And she's made up her mind, I will not be offended. I'll not be offended by Jesus, and I'll not be offended by the disciples. And you've heard me say it before, but I'm going to say it one more time. She said, Lord, I may be a dog, but I'm your dog. I remember former music director, we had J.T. Adams. He said, you know, if I've got a hound dog, I don't want him warming over by the neighbor's tire next door. I want him warming by my tire in front of my house. I'm the one that feeds him. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. I don't want a meal. I just want a crumb. Truth, Lord. But I didn't ask for a whole meal. All I ask is just for some faith crumbs here. As I looked at this little unique Janet handwriting, don't give up on God. Actually, she had another scripture here in connection with that, but I'm taking this route. Never give up on God's covenant promises. Never lose your confidence in God, number two. Number three, never be afraid to put your total trust in God. Number four, never let difficult circumstances cause you to doubt God. And five, never let divine delays steal your hope. Wow. You know, I'm a pastor and I'm into the practical. You got to be if you're a pastor. We're a general practitioner. But I tell you that faith covers it all. Faith covers a broken heart. Faith, there are people here this morning who you've lost a companion. There's people here that you've had financial disaster. There's people here that a friend has betrayed you, or you know, just the unthinkable happened. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus will heal you everywhere you hurt. And here's what happened. Here's the result of all of it. You say, where in the world's all this going, Pastor? She heard about Jesus. She comes. Jesus doesn't talk to her. The disciples don't talk to her. When Jesus does talk to her, he insults her. Where's all this going? I'll tell you where it's going. She heard the words of Jesus. Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It's worth it all. She's not worried about the small potatoes. She's not worried about this or that. I have a daughter that has a need, and you can meet that need, and I'm not going to back off. Woman, man, great is thy faith. Pay dirt. Answer to prayer. Great is thy faith. I don't know about you, but I've just preached myself happy this morning, dear Lord. God, you know everything about everything. I know nothing, but I reach out for your everything. I don't know what to do for my daughter. I don't know which direction to go. Like the woman that had suffered many things of many physicians, she's tried every doctor that she's ever even heard of. But she comes to Jesus Church, my challenge today is this. Let's purpose in our heart. We're going to touch the hem of His garment. We're going to see God work in our behalf as never before. We've tried this and trusted this and gone here and done that. But it's time to drive a stake and just say, I believe God. Life's not over. Life goes on. So you've had a tragedy. God's still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. Our tour guide. I never thought I'd hear it because people in Israel are very sensitive to what happened to them. Israel now is celebrating their 60th anniversary. And we're talking about the days of the gas chamber. And he looked and he said, you know, Pastor, there comes a time you got to let it go. The Jewish people have had a lot of things happen. But he said, most of us that are, you know, that he, you know, he says a long distance call to heaven is a local call from Jerusalem. But he said, you know, there's many of us are saying it's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. It happened. But what happened to your grandmother, your great-grandmother? I mean, whatever happened. Folks, it's time we just let stuff go and just say from this point on, I'm going to take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Can't help what mom did. Can't help what dad did. Can't help what the boss did. Can't help this or that and the other. But Jesus, I worship you. Help me, Lord. Call me a dog. Doesn't hurt my feelings. Just give me some crumbs. And the conclusion to the whole thing, what would you give for Jesus to call your name and say, great is your faith? You know what I believe with all of my heart? I believe there are many in this room today that He said it, but you haven't heard it. Tweak your hearing. Get your little antennas up. For many of you, He's saying today, I know what you've been through. I know where you've been. I know what's happening. Great is your faith. Receive it by faith. Great is your faith. It's going to be all right. I'm going to bring you out on the high side of victory. As our precious youngest daughter wrote in her little diary of notes in church, never give up on God. Never give up on Jesus. Lord, let us lock. Let us lock into the fact that Jesus loves me. This I know. God's word works. And no matter what Jesus says or doesn't say, He's got a book full of what He's already said. No matter what His disciples say, preachers say some wild things sometimes. We're going to believe God.